Mark chapter 10, verses 32 through 45. This is the reading of God's word. They were on the road going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus was walking on ahead of them, and they were amazed. And those who followed were fearful. And again, he took the 12 aside and began to tell them what was going to happen to him, saying, "Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and will hand him over to the Gentiles. They will mock him and spit on him and scourge him and kill him. And 3 days later, he will rise again." James and John, the two sons of Zebedee, came up to Jesus saying, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." And he said to them, "What do you want me to do for you?" They said to him, "Grant that we may sit one on your right and one on your left in your glory." But Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or to be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized?" They said to him, "We are able." And Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you shall drink, and you shall be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized. But to sit on my right or on my left, this is not mine to give, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared." Hearing this, the 10 began to feel indignant with James and John. Calling them to himself, Jesus said to them, "You know that those who are recognized as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great men exercise authority over them. But it is not this way among you, but whoever wishes to become great among you shall be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you shall be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing of your word. Grant us an ear that is able to hear your voice through your word. Let us believe. Let us obey. And let us meet your Son, Jesus Christ, through your word. Let us have fellowship with him. Let us serve him. Let us worship him. Oh, Father, we pray that you and you alone will be glorified. We thank you and we pray all this in the name of our Lord, Jesus Christ. Amen. The last time when we looked at the gospel according to Mark, we stopped at verse 31. Let us continue then from verse 32. Our Lord Jesus Christ continues to teach his disciples and us about his kingdom, how he is accomplishing it, and shows us the true picture of the citizens of his kingdom. How are they to live? They are to be like him. He shows that he has a definite goal and purpose in his coming. Verse 45. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. That is his work, and he does exactly that. He goes to Jerusalem to do his work. What is his work? To serve and to die for his people. Simply put, to serve and to die. And his people are invited to live the same life, to do the same work. Of course, we are not able to accomplish anything that he has accomplished. He and he alone accomplished our salvation perfectly. But he invites us to participate in his life, to imitate him, to live his life, to be like him. For him, everything is about the glory of the Father. He came to do his Father's will. And we are called to live the same life. You and I, we must understand that we're born. We are saved to do the Father's will. Anything other than that is waste of life. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 7 and verse 10. Then I said, Jesus, behold, I have come to do your will, O God. In the scroll of the book, it is written of me. By this will, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Jesus says he came to do the will of the Father, and by that will, his people are saved. Jesus obeyed the Father until death, and we are called to live the same life. This is what our religion is all about. It is to be like Christ. Anything other than that is short of what the Bible teaches us, what the purpose of our religion is. Verses 33 and 34, behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and will hand him over to the Gentiles. They will mock him and spit on him and scourge him and kill him. And 3 days later, he will rise again. He knows exactly what will happen in Jerusalem when he gets there. He knows, he knew what would happen to him when he came here as a man. And yet, he still came. See, God is telling us that our life as a Christians will be full of sufferings and death even. We know, and yet we are willing. Just like Jesus knows exactly what would happen to him, and yet he still goes to Jerusalem because he loves you, but more importantly, he wants to please his Father, God the Father. He will be killed in Jerusalem, but you see, that is exactly why he came. His work is to serve and to die for his people. This is very important. You and I, we must understand what our lives are for. What is the purpose of our lives? Jesus was walking on ahead of them. The disciples are invited to walk the same path. We too are invited, but the disciples at the time do not understand what kind of way that they are invited to walk on. they still do not understand the true glory of it. That is why we read from verse 35. I'm going to read until verse 37. James and John, the two sons of Zebedee, came up to Jesus saying, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." And he said to them, "What do you want me to do for you?" They said to him, "Grant that we may sit, one on your right and one on your left, in your glory." They still understand the kingdom of God in terms of this world. Jesus is going to Jerusalem to suffer and die, and all they can think of is about the high position that they want to have. The kingdom of God is not of this sinful world. The world wants the recognitions and acknowledgments, and the world wants to be served by many. It is not just James and John who want this. Verse 41 says, "Hearing this, the ten began to feel indignant with James and John." All of them, all 12, are the same. These disciples hated Roman emperor. Why did they hate him? Because he lords it over them. He exercised authority over them. They must serve him without any question. And yet, they themselves want the same position of power. See, when others do it, it is evil. But when I do it, it is good. Verse 38, "But Jesus said to them, 'You do not know what you are asking. Why are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or to be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized?' The cup that he drinks and the baptism that he is baptized, what are they referring to? The cup. We saw this in the book of Revelation, so I don't have to explain to you in length. It is the cup of God's wrath. The cup of God's judgment. And this cup is also pointing to the sufferings. And why is Jesus drinking this cup? Because of our sins. The wrath of God, the judgment of God, the curse of God, they are what we deserve because of our sins, but our Lord in our places drinks all of it. The baptism of Jesus Christ. No, it does not refer to the water baptism that he received from the John the Baptist, although meaning is the same. Luke chapter 12, verse 50, Jesus says, "But I have a baptism to undergo." And this is after that he got baptism from the John the Baptist. And he says, "I have a baptism to undergo. And how distressed I am until it is accomplished." It points to his suffering and death on the cross. You see, baptism and cup, which is related to Lord's Supper that we are having today, they are all God's judgments. Baptism means death. And the cup is also pointing to receiving the judgment of God, which is death. Colossians 2, verse 12, "Having been buried with Christ in baptism, in which you were also raised up with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. Romans chapter 6, verse 3 and 4, or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. And also in Old Testament, we see many times how the extreme sufferings are described as the water trials. For example, Psalm 69, verse 1 and 2, "Save me, O God, for the waters have threatened my life." No, he's not talking about, you know, being in the middle of flood. There's so much suffering that is coming to him. "Oh, save me, O God, for the waters have threatened my life. I have sunk in deep mire, and there is no foothold. I have come into deep waters, and a flood overflows me." Baptism points to God's judgment. And you see this in the Old Testament many times. Noah's flood. People, all of them except eight people of Noah's family, they are all killed by the flood. They were baptized. Do you remember crossing the Red Sea? Israelites, they crossed the Red Sea, and they came out of the other side, but the Egyptian soldiers, they were all died in the water. They were baptized. So baptism points to death and the suffering. But only reason now the baptism is good for us is that we are united to Christ. Because he received his baptism, but he also resurrected from the dead. So we are united to Jesus, so we die with him, but also we resurrect with him. That is the only reason now baptism is good. Without Christ, baptism is death. It's God's judgment. The baptism of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit comes to you and recreates you as a new creation. Think about it. God coming to you. If you are a sinner, that is not a good thing. He's consuming fire. And when God comes to you, you will die. That's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But even though Holy Spirit came to you, why you don't die? Because you are united to Christ. Because you are not only united to his death, but also you are united to his resurrection. That's why for you who are united to Christ, God coming to you is a good thing now. But only because of Christ. That's why the world, to them, Jesus Christ coming back will be the worst thing that could happen to them. But for you, it is the most glorious thing because your union with Christ. Thus, the cup that our Lord drinks and the baptism that he undergoes refer to his suffering and death. So Jesus is asking to them, are you able to drink the cup that I drink or to be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized? And in verse 39a, they said to him, the disciples answered Jesus, "We are able." It is very ironical. Because from how the disciples understood, this answer is definitely wrong. But it is not truly wrong answer. Yes, the disciples do not know what they are saying, but it is true that in Christ, they are able. They will drink the cup, and they will go through that baptism that Jesus has went through. So yes, it is wrong, but at the same time, it is right answer. But disciples do not understand. Jesus himself has said, you do not know what you are asking. Our Lord Jesus Christ invites us to participate in his suffering and his death and his resurrection. Jesus is able. Thus, we who are in him are able. Verse 39b, and Jesus said to them, the cup that I drink, you shall drink, and you shall be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized. Do you see it? What is Jesus saying to you? Among other things, Jesus describes your life. Life as Christian. All of his people participate in his suffering and death. Romans chapter 8 verse 17b, if indeed we suffer with Christ, so that we may also be glorified with him. Do you remember this John and James and John, do you know what happens to them later? James and John who came and said, can we sit one on your right, one on your left? Do you know what happens to them later? Acts chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Now about that time, Herod the king laid hands on some who belonged to the church in order to mistreat them. And he had James, the brother of John, put to death with a sword. James, who came to Jesus, he gets killed. He dies. Do you see it? Even James participates in the life of Christ. John later understands also. That's why when you read his letters and the revelation that he wrote, we know that he understands. But not at this time, but later he does. 1 John chapter 3, verse 16, we know love by this, that he laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. He understands. Revelation chapter 1 verse 9a, I, John, your brother and fellow partaker in the tribulation and kingdom and perseverance which are in Jesus. John understands that now he's a partaker in the tribulation, in the sufferings. They understand. And you must understand also. We too are participants of this glorious life. 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 13a says, but to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing. If you share the sufferings of Christ more, then your rejoicing will be more. To live this life, the life that Christ has lived for us, is our true happiness. See, I don't know what makes you happy. And if you really think about it, everything that you say that makes make you happy, are they connected to this world? Oh yeah, I'll be happy if I go to a good college. Oh yeah, I'll be happy if I get a good grade. I'll be happy if I'm rich. I'll be happy if I get a good job. Are you happy because you share the sufferings of Christ? Disciples at this time, they just don't get it. And I'm afraid that many of us are like disciples at this time, just don't get it. That's why I have to pray very, very hard. And you guys have to pray very, very hard. What is our life all about? What is Jesus Christ showing us? Because at the end, it really does not matter what you think. What matters is what Jesus says. And when you read his words, it is very clear what our life is all about. Verse 40, but to sit on my right or on my left, this is not mine to give, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared. See, what Jesus is saying is this, I have come to do the will of the Father. My focus must be on pleasing God. Now in verses 42 through 44, Jesus contrasts heaven and this world. Calling them to himself, Jesus said to them, you know that those who are recognized as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them. But it is not this way among you. But whoever wishes to become great among you shall be your servant. And whoever wishes to be first among you shall be slave of all. Do you see it? Heaven is definitely different from this world. The worldly rulers lord it over the people. And that is exactly what the world wants. But it is not this way among you, Jesus says. You are different. You do not belong to this world. We are not about building the kingdom of this world. We are not about lording over people. That is not what church is about. Church is not the world. Church must not do anything according to this world. You and I, we are becoming more and more like our Lord Jesus Christ. We, as servants to one another, we must serve others. Not delight in being served by others. You know, in the world, why do you want to make so much money? I went to Korea a few years back. Man, when you have a good car and so much money, everybody bow down to you. You go to hotel, you go to restaurant, they're just bowing and bowing. And these people love it because so many people are serving them. This is the world. It is not this way among you, God says. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5, for we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord, and ourselves as your bond servants for Jesus' sake. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13, for you were called to freedom, brethren, only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 3, not yet as lording it over those allotted to your charge, but proving to be examples to the flock. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 and 8, have this attitude in yourself, which he was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Brothers and sisters, do you get it? The servant or slave's job is looking out for the interests of others, not of oneself. If you are a servant, what is your purpose? It is to serve other people. And God says we are servants to one another. But if you do not see yourself like that, then you're just like the world. You want to be served, but you have no knowledge of what this serving life is all about. Yeah, it's all me and my family. It's all about that in this world. But listen to what Christ says to you. He came to serve. And he invites us to live the very life that he has lived. Servant's job is looking out for the interests of others. If you are a servant, and you are if you are Christian, then your job is to looking out for the interests of others. Do you get it? Or you just like disciples at this time, just don't get it. We are called to serve one another. We must participate in the servanthood of our Lord Jesus Christ. To be like him means to be servants because he is the servant he came to serve. You and I are called to seek his kingdom and his righteousness. We are called to die for our Lord Jesus Christ. And remember, the cross of this world is equal to the glory of heaven. Him dying on the cross is equal to his sitting on his throne, inauguration of his kingship. Because as soon as he died on the cross, he went to heaven and he sat right at the right hand of God as the king of the kingdom of God. Do you see it? To sit at his right or his left is to serve and die for one another. In order for you to sit at his right and his left in the glory, you must be also sit at his right and his left when he dies on the cross. Without the one, you will not have the other. Do you understand what the disciple was asking, to sit at his right or his left? It is to participate in his suffering and death. It is the complete opposite of what this world teaches. Whomever wishes to be first among you shall be slave to all. This is not what the world will understand. Do you understand that this is the way of heaven? This is the way of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the mind of Christ. And you must also have this same mind yourselves. Do you truly want to be great in heaven? Then you must serve. You must be slave to all. Verse 45, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. He came to serve, he came to die. Clearly written there. But do you understand, brothers and sisters, even before he came, this was his mind. This was in his heart. To serve and to die for his people. This is the eternal mind of God. Do you understand this? To serve us and to die for us. And if our Lord serves us this way, then can we set a limit on how much we will serve one another? How far did he serve us? How far are you willing to serve? He came to give his life a ransom for many. Ransom. A price of a slave that must be paid before that slave can be free. Yes, Jesus Christ has paid the ransom and he freed us. The world loves to be served and lords it over the people, but with all of their power and wealth, they cannot save themselves. Psalm 49, verse 6 through 8, even those who trust in their wealth and boast in the abundance of their riches, no man can by any means redeem his brother or give a God a ransom for him. For the redemption of his soul is costly. And he should cease trying forever. Matthew chapter 16 verse 26. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? At the end, what can anyone give to God to redeem himself? The whole world? Will it be sufficient if you give the whole world? All your efforts and dedication, will they be sufficient to redeem yourself? No. Hear what God says. Jesus came. Jesus came to serve and to give his life a ransom for you. Only Jesus Christ, his blood and his righteousness, he gave his life a ransom for us. And indeed, we are free in Jesus Christ. Free from sin, free from Satan, free from this world. Let us live a life that witnesses the mind of Christ, the eternal mind of God, to serve, to die. For other. You and I are called to serve and die for one another. You must see your life in terms of how God is calling you. And as you come to his table today, and you know, if you are not at that age, spiritually, you are coming to the table if you believe, but you have not confessed your faith yet, publicly. So physically you may not able to come, but spiritually you are coming if you believe. And when you do come to his table, come to your God and Savior and Lord, Jesus Christ. come and sit at his right and sit at his left, sit with him and drink and eat with him and have the sweet heavenly fellowship with him. Do you understand he's inviting you to sit at his right and sit at his left? To have fellowship with you. But even as you come to this table, understand who you are. Understand what your life is all about. You might feel like if you live according to what this word says, you might feel like you're losing out a lot, but it's nothing compared to how much they're going to lose out at the end when Jesus returns. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, I plead with you. It's not about you. It's not about your life. It's about Jesus Christ. That is what everything is about. And if you are truly Christian, you'll be glad that that is so. Brothers and sisters, come and sit at his right and his left and commune with your Lord. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for your grace upon your people. Oh, Father, grant your people an ear to hear your voice through your word. Let them not harden their hearts when they hear your voice, but be glad and receive and believe and obey. By your word, by the working of your Spirit in us, mature us. Through your word, mature to the fullness of your Son, Jesus Christ, so that we may understand, like your disciples that we see later on, understand what our life is all about, understand your will, and we too come in this world to do your will. Bless us, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.